Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
Yes, sir.
Time for the Falcons Report.
Stop! Beasley slams it through the gut to touchdown Atlanta. Julio, touchdown. Oh, my goodness.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report on Dukes and Bell.
We are live in Kennesaw, guys. Twin Peaks, come on out and hang out with us. We'd love to see you out here. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. I tell you what, Mike Bell, looking at this schedule, we had it yesterday.
And by the way, I didn't want to jam anybody up because, you know, there's league rules and there's an embargo on the information. So apologize if we upset anybody by having that information out there on Twitter. But I understand why, you know, you can't have it. But I do have a guy who's actually 100% right. We had it first, for what it's worth.
Well, again, yesterday there was a lot of speculating because that's what we do when it comes to the schedule. Because until it comes out officially from the NFL, well, it's out, man.
But to be quite honest with you, I don't understand all this. I mean, if media sources get their hands on it, I mean...
Well, who leaks the information?
Mike Francesa had the giant schedule in New York. Boston papers at Chicago had it.
Who leaks it, Mike? That's my question.
Well, yeah.
NFL leaks this information purposely.
So you're saying I was just duped by a mole planted by Roger Goodell and his minions?
Well, here's the deal. The NFL understands, and we talk about this. This is the brilliance of the schedule of what the NFL does every year. And we're going to get to the Falcon Report and let you hear from Thomas Dimitroff in a second. But as soon as the season is over, right, when the Super Bowl's over, and we have that lull that we go through, and I'm not talking about the Falcons being in the Super Bowl. I'm talking about just as a football fan, and you go, ooh, I'm missing football. Right. And you turn right back around, and the NFL always has something on the clock.
Correct.
On the schedule, right? It's free agency. Then it's the draft. Before the draft, though, they release the schedule, which keeps us interested. And my point is this. For everybody who goes, well, how do you get that information? Well, the league office has it. There are four guys who are nerds who get in a room with four computers and they put the schedule together. How does this information get leaked out? The league office leaks it out. So when you hear various guys have it, we have friends in the league office. Mm-hmm. How did we get it? That's how we got it.
But it's out there now, and like as you said, it's almost like a 10-course meal once the Super Bowl's over. They just throw little morsels out at you to keep the NFL in the conversation, and in 2 weeks' time, we have the draft, actually a week from Thursday up in Philly. Real quick before Thomas Dimitroff and hear what he had to say about the philosophy, as much as he could talk about specific players, et cetera, with the guys from the morning show, the guys at 11 Alive flew the chopper over Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I presume this is either yesterday or today, but it just got posted. I put the link up at Mike Bell ATL, and you can see what the various pieces of the roof look like. And, man, I had no idea. We all saw the mock-up, but when you see it in real time with the steel, a lot of moving parts, man.
It is.
A lot of moving parts.
Well, that's why this thing has not, and again, I'm not claiming to have seen it not work, but this is the complexity. Let me use their word. This is the complexity of the roof, Mike, when we talk about what has to happen for this thing to function properly. And as I've been saying, push the button and hope the thing opens up correctly.
But it's not like there's a manual setting and, you know, you can have like 5,000 guys on the roof like a Ben-Hur movie trying to move the thing or something. But this is interesting. If like me and you love architecture and love to see how this thing was built, check it out. Go to the Mike Bell ATL, the link from 11 Live.
Hey, man, real quick about the schedule and then we'll let you hear Thomas. We have five primetime games, guys. You know, we're not looking at the toughest schedule in the league. According to the schedule makers, that's Dallas. But the part of the schedule that is interesting, I'm not going to say it concerns me. I said that earlier, and then I kind of rethought that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't concern me. The part that concerns me is that we don't know how healthy we'll be at the end of the year. And usually teams are banged up at the end of the year. And if that's the case, we could potentially be fighting for a division title, Mike, where we've got four division games in the month of December.
And let's hope that we're not having a banged up Julio Jones, whoever the guy is. But, I mean, Julio is a guy that always puts a lot of wear and tear on his body because he gives his body up every game. We know that. And we know he's tough because he's been playing with pain since his days with the Crimson Tide. But at Panthers, Cowboys, Seattle. That's a tough little road to hoe right there, man. Panthers, Cowboys, Seattle, Bucks, and that's the month of November. And that's generally when you want a break. We get it in week five. So I agree with you. The only thing I don't like about this schedule, other than the Saints twice in about 2 weeks' time, on the 10th and then Christmas Eve of December, it's a little funky how they kind of put all the SEC South games right there in the final 6 weeks.
It really is. Your chance to win $1,000 coming up with our national signing bonus contest. Stay tuned for that. Let's hear from Thomas Dimitroff, our general manager who joined the morning show, John Freaky Hugh Douglas, and they asked him, Has Atlanta become a free agent destination?
I've always believed that the destination was really firm. It's the city is a great city. The owner is very generous. I think that's always been attractive. I think now that you have a head coach approach like Dan approaches it with these players and the rumors and the not rumors, but the idea is passed along throughout the league that people want to play for Dan and his style of play, competitive, fiery, upbeat, light in its own way, but really understanding and hardworking. There's a really good sell there that these players do want to play for Dan Quinn, and that's exciting for me as a co-team builder, because when we are knocking on the doors for some of these free agents, they know that this is one of the places they've heard they'd like to play.
When you entered free agency this year, I think you kind of caught the fans and some of us by surprise, a little flat-footed. Were you expecting a fish as big as Dontari Poe?
I think what we were doing is we knew we were going to be focused on our team first, right? We signed Alford early on. We signed Schrader early on. We continued to, you know, sign Tololo and such. And so we were in a spot in our mind that we were going to look and see if someone came up, and we had an idea of the money, how high we could go on a certain free agent, understanding that we still have other big signings in the future with us, right? We've talked about that with D. Freeman. We've talked about that and down the road with Matt Ryan and such. So we knew that there was going to be some money there for a big signing. We also knew that there was a possibility it would only be a one-year deal because of what he was looking for. So it wasn't a surprise as much as it was a really good fit, and we were excited that he wanted to play here. And he's at a crossroads in his career because he thinks this is a very important part for him to show what he's worth for a long-term deal. He fits in well. We figure we can play him as a three technique. You know, Dan's a really good he's a really good recruiter in a good way, and I think he was very direct with him. And in the end, I was surprised that there were other teams that might have been tugging on him. I was surprised they weren't in on it as much as we were, and really happy that we were able to pull it off.
We're talking with Falcons General Manager Thomas Dimitroff about the offseason here. The first priority of the offseason was to re-sign your own guys. Did you get pretty much, or did you get everybody you wanted back?
Yeah, we signed back most of the people we were looking for. I mean, our offense is pretty much intact for the most part. We lost a couple guys, and one in particular, and Patrick DeMarco, he decided to go somewhere else. It was a more lucrative deal for him. Appreciate his leadership over the years, and that's a tough thing, of course. But there, for the most part, we got everyone back. We were focused and targeting on the guys quite strongly throughout this season, and we went after it aggressively, we thought, and we're excited about having the people back. And, you know, we have a young defense, of course. We'll be interested to see who ends up situating those starting positions. But offensively, we feel like we really hit who we needed to hit in our own free agent market.
You mentioned Matt Ryan and Devontae Freeman. Any timetable that you're thinking about before camp, during the season, that you want to get these guys done?
Well, I think the number one focus there between those two guys right now is to address the Devontae thing contract and the discussions that we've had with their agents. And normally that's one that we would be addressing as we go into training camp. So that's that. I only mention Matt right now because, you know, Matt's a guy, of course, we want him to be here for many years to come, and that's something that we'll address when appropriate.
Speaking with Thomas Dimitroff, you also have big changes in coaching. I mean, you come off a Super Bowl, and yet you lose both of your coordinators or move away from both of your coordinators. Let's talk about three. Let's talk about Bryant Young coming in to coach the defensive line. What do you expect from him?
And Bryant Young obviously is a 9-plus-year Pro Bowler. He has got a great understanding of defensive line. Really excited about his whole approach. You know, he's got a great relationship with Dan. They communicate very, very well. I think he's going to come in here, and he's got instant respect from those players, which I think is going to be good. So it's really expecting him to continue to grow. He doesn't have a ton of experience as a defensive line coach, but he knows the craft inside out, and we're really hoping that along with Dan, he and Dan can really work and refine that defensive front.
You promoted Marquand Manuel to defensive coordinator. You obviously have a high hope that he's going to have a bright future.
You know, Marquand's he's a very bright individual. He's got a really good understanding of Dan's defense, which is vital in my mind. I think Dan respects him a lot and will rely on him to have a really good understanding of play calling, which is very important, as you know, and would have been last year and continue to be into this year. And I think that Marquand has a really good understanding of the secondary, and he has a really good understanding of the aggressiveness of this type of defense. And his personality is gregarious, and I think it really will carry this defense well.
speaking with Thomas Dimitroff. Of course, the third is Steve Sarkisian. Have you begun to see a little bit about what this might look like with Steve Sarkisian and Matt Ryan in this offense?
Oh, look, I'm really excited about that. I see how the two of them communicate. Steve's got a really unique personality, really communicative. He's really engaging. He's very bright, very smart, very creative, which was what I've said that is really impressive for us. And he and Matt have a fun ability to communicate well, right? There's no uneasiness there. There's no one guy's outgoing, the other guy's not. They're both outgoing guys. They both are articulate and communicate very well and have big, bright minds. And I think they're going to do really well together.
Falcons General Manager Thomas Dimitroff on the morning show. Let's shift to the draft. Let's go to next Thursday morning. You wake up, Thomas Dimitroff. Are you focused? Are you nervous? Are you excited? What's draft day like for you?
You know, I think it's different when you're drafting at 6 or when you're drafting at 31. We're at 31, so I think we're going to be easing into the day a little bit more. We'll have most things, quite honestly, most teams feel very comfortable at the beginning of the week that they have most of their board in order, right? Things can change with trades and such. Basically, that's where our focus is, to see what's happening at the beginning of the round when you're sitting at 31. I think we'll start it off, and you know, we won't go on the clock probably until it'll be past 10 o'clock, I think, that evening. So I think it'll be an ease-in day. I think we'll spend some time during the day going over some final touches, and some different discussions. We're a big scenario team. I've always been that way. That's a big thing for us. So Dan Quinn and I will sit down and we'll talk about every scenario under the sun at 31, right? Who we're interested in? What if this guy falls? If these two guys were there, would we move up to 5-10 spots and give up X, Y, and Z? Or would we want to just stay? Maybe this other guy, we would move up and give away more. That's kind of the discussion that you have quite a bit. And some of the rumors that go on that final day, you know, precipitate more discussion along those lines. We're really, really driven towards making sure that when the time comes, that we know we have a number of different opportunities and options.
I would think that given the success of the franchise, especially last year, you have to be pretty proud of the fact that, you know, a lot of it was built on what you were able to, Thomas, draft. I mean, you have drafted an awful lot of starters and stars.
That's been it's been really encouraging. Again, my relationship with Dan is just, I'm really, really excited about how we continue to grow with each time and each phase that we're together. Even, you know, going through last season, we supported each other so well, and I supported him as much as I could as a general manager, of course, during the season. He and I are really, I mean, we spend an inordinate amount of time, I think, as GM and head coach, watching a lot of video, talking about scheme, getting up on the board when it's need be, which I think is fantastic, talking about how guys fit, right? That is a massively important thing that can never be overstated for you as a media or in the fan base, that to have co-team builders working and discussing at every level. It doesn't matter if it's the first pick at 31 or the back end of the, you know, a CFA, really talking about how that player fits into the scheme, not only on the field, but off the field. The fact that Dan is open to doing that as a head coach, again, it's a really, really encouraging thing as a general manager.
You feel any pressure to live up to the last two drafts? I mean, you feel like, yeah, you got to hit every draft now and make it a little bit better?
Well, I know that I asked Dan. I said, how many starters do you think we can get out of this group? I said, with you doing what you're doing, i.e. playing rookies, four on our defense, starting four rookies, and then playing, you know, Austin Hooper a lot and such, I said, that's great. So you're going to have to live up to that, Dan. You're going to have to play all these guys and feel comfortable.
Oh, so you put it on him.
Well, I will say we do joke around about this. In, you know, my so-called contemporaries in this league at the general manager level, if they have head coaches that they know are going to play their young guys and get them unbelievable experience early, it's the best thing in the world for us, right? It's music to our ears to know that you have a head coach that's going to do that. And, you know, look, the reality is, in this league, you have to be very creative with how you put this together. You have your pillar players that are making a lot of money. You better have some young players that can contribute right away. And my feeling is those guys contributed so well early. By the time they got through the playoffs and into the Super Bowl, they have a season and a half of experience under their belt. What a great feeling that is going into this season.
Do you draft for right now or do you draft for 2 years out?
I said this before. I said, you know, another reason why Dan and I get along so well is we both have a here and now approach to things. Of course, I am very visionary as a general manager. As a head coach, you can't be as much. You need to be in the here and now. I think we have embraced the moment and go after it. So that's a good thing for us, still having vision. So we are focused on now. We understand that, you know, our proverbial arrow is pointing up, and it's strongly pointing up, and we can continue to build. And we want to capitalize on where we are with this energy, momentum, and we're a very resilient football team. That starts with Dan Quinn and Matt Ryan on, you know, at the respective levels on this team, and really excited about how they're going to bring this team along.
We're talking draft with Thomas Dimitroff, general manager of the Falcons, on the morning show with John and Hugh. So there are a couple of guys you do a lot of scouting, you do a lot of tape, you bring guys in, Forrest Lamp, and you bring in Charles Harris, you bring in a lot of guys. Is there one or two guys, well, I don't know, you can't mention names, but is there one or two guys that you're starting to think about at that 31 that you would absolutely jump up and down in the war room saying, yeah, he's there?
I think what happens there is we start thinking, yes, of course we would. At 31, you'd be jumping up and down. I think the reality is the ones you're really excited about, that's where you start having the discussion, would you move up 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 picks, right? That's what usually you think. And then if they do end up at 31, then yes, you're doing flips. But I think when you really like a guy and you know that he is a good fit on and off the field and fits in with our brotherhood type and all the requisite traits that we're looking for, those are the guys you're saying, hey, this might be worth doling out a later pick to go after this guy. And you know our history here. We're aggressive. We don't sit on our hands here, and I'm proud of that. I know that everyone can have their opinion of it, but I think you have to go for what you want, and we'll always be that.
Final question on the draft, Thomas Dimitroff. Do you expect on Thursday that it's going to be a bit, a lot of rumors always are, but a lot of rumors that this could be a draft full of trades, full of moves? It could be a really active draft. Are you expecting that?
I'm expecting an active draft for sure. I know it's way at the front. I'm always interested in it, and I know only because I think it dictates some of what goes on in the middle rounds or middle of the round and up into the 20s. And again, if we do have an interest in moving up and it is in those early 20 area or wherever it may be, even into the teens, it's dictated by what's going on early on, right? If you get a stretch of players and a stretch at a certain position, man, it's amazing how it can change the sequence. And we're very dialed in. Our pro department does a heck of a job setting us up with all the needs of all the teams. But again, we may think we have that figured out, but the way things happen in this league, it could change like that. So you have to be adaptable. And I think I think we are as a team. I think we're very adaptable.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.